to go out there, especially, remember, there's only like three or four get drafted in the first round. But they have some good quarterbacks in the second round, third round.
Hour 2 has been brought to you by Vinny's 3217 Ridgeley Drive in Metairie. Coming up next hour, Tim Grubbs will preview the World Series. Jack, hold on, sir. We'll come to you in about 4 minutes. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Of course we can help you with that oil change. Doing it yourself is a great way to save some money. Right now you can get 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP oil filter for just $27.99. And we've got even more ways to get it. Just order online with our next day delivery or free same day store pickup. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Make it a Redbox night with an edge-of-your-seat action thriller that can't be missed. Rent Ava, starring Jessica Chastain. Ava is a notorious assassin who travels the globe specializing in high-profile hits. However, when a job goes dangerously wrong, she is forced to fight for her own survival. Rent Ava, along with other new movies, tonight. Head to one of the 40,000 Redbox locations. Stream on your smart TV or visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
For summer DIY projects, you know the Home Depot's always in your corner. Now with our mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand. With digital tools like image search, snap a picture of something. It'll recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And our product locator will check availability and lead you right to it. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hi, I'm Casey Gisclick.
And I'm Stan Gravois.
Join us every Saturday right here for the Sports Corner.
High school, college, and national sports.
Coaches and call-ins and your take on our opinions in the world of sports.
So join us every Saturday from 10 to noon.
Right here on the Sports Corner presented by TGMC Community Sports Institute.
10 to noon.
On ESPN 100.3.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Hour number 3, off and running. Gus Kattengill, John Forcade in studio with you. Jordan Kleber as well, as always. We appreciate your phone calls. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. You can also do so over on social media. We have a couple of questions of the day. What do you got?
Yes, so it's what we were talking about earlier in the show. Give us your top 5 teams in the NFL as of now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. And you could do that by tweeting at us at ESPN Radio New Orleans or calling in 800-998-1003. And Elvin actually tweeted at us, oh, man, at GCAT_17 is getting spicy on at ESPN Radio NOLA talking about possible Drew Brees successors.
What do you think of Andrew Luck as we go to Jack here in a sec?
Come back and play?
No, not just. What did you think of him when he was playing?
I thought he was okay.
Okay, well, it's one of the guys that's compared to Trey Lance, his body type and kind of player.
No, I think Andrew Luck's way better than Trey Lance, you know, because of the competition he's okay. played at and everything.
So
I haven't seen enough of the Lance.
Okay,
I just got to see more of it.
All right.
By the way, before you go further, I got to wish my brother Keith Forcade a happy 59th birthday. His nickname is Moon, so Moon, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, sir. Jack, what you got for us here on the Sports Hangover?
Guys,
hey,
I had a couple of questions about some other quarterback situations. Although they're both Dolphin related,
okay.
What do y'all think? Okay. The Dolphins took Tua, he's their future. So I don't think it was a huge surprise today when they announced that he was going to be the starter. But how do you think that goes over in the locker room? I mean, they're finally starting to play well. Mm-hmm. They seem to love Fitzmagic, and they win in ball games. And do you think it puts more pressure on Tua because of what I said? You know, they win the ball games and they're playing well.
Well, I'm gonna go to here real quick. Here's my take on that. Talk about the locker room situation. They're 3-3 in a bad division. They got a chance to maybe make the playoffs. If they do not win like the next three or four games, things don't go well for them. You just lost the locker room. You know, you can't go back.
Right.
You know, you bench him. You can't go back. He's done for the year unless it's an injury. I would have just kept going with Fitzpatrick. You know, gradually go let him play. If an injury occurs, then you let him play. Or if Fitzpatrick's playing bad, you losing some games, you let him play. But you're in the thick of things right now, and you're going to go with a rookie who's never taken a snap yet and play. I think you've lost a little bit of locker room. Now, if he shows me he can go out and play and do things, great, great move. I don't see it happen.
Jack, I kind of agree with you. I don't think anyone's surprised that it happened. I think just the way it happened.
Right, the way it happened.
They're one game out of the lead of the division. Buffalo's 4-2, Miami 3-3, Patriots 2-3, and then you got the Jets 0-6.
And, guys, the other question I have is, well, I think everybody's asked this question. How does Adam Gase still have a job? I mean, look at how good Ryan Tannehill is since he got away from Adam Gase.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think I can recall a quarterback completely changing, you know, the way he looks by just changing, you know, his situation. So, I mean, like I said, if you're running the Jets, do you think they should fire him now?
No. You know why? Because he's doing exactly what I would do if I'm a Jets fan right now. You're not going to get anything. Keep on doing what you're doing, losing, and you're basically tanking without tanking. That's why he still has a job. It's literally the only reason I can think that you do, right? I mean, Bill O'Brien and others that have been fired this year, I mean, they're at expectation levels. When I'm with the Jets, I'm like, you're 0-6 now. I'm like, what am I gaining by firing him right now? They might actually win a game or two, and now I can't pick in the top.
I mean, look, they've already traded a doggone nose guard right after the game the other day, so they got.
Because here's the thing, Jack. Even if they believe in Darnold, they get a new coach, believe in Darnold, because it actually would be the smart thing to do. Can you imagine they get the number one spot? How many teams would be calling for Trevor Lawrence?
Right.
So now you can actually pick up some. You can pick up picks. You can pick up veterans and come in and play for you right now and immediately help Sam Darnold because you already have a quarterback. So, yep, if I'm the Jets ownership, I see him in the business office and I see him in the building. Adam, good job, baby. Keep us going, man. Keep up the good work. And I want zero wins. That's why he's still employed.
And guys, I'm gonna one last question I'll get out. About Sam Darnold. It looks to me like he has talent, that he can still play. I think there's a danger that if he takes a beating for the rest of the year, I mean, John, you played. I didn't. It seems to me that there's some guys that even if they have talent, if they get beat on for long enough, they lose it. And do you think he's in danger of that? And if you're the Saints, if you do think he's still good, what would you give up for him? And I'll hang up and listen, guys. Y'all have a good day.
And again, and that's why it depends where you are and where you finish at the end of the season, John. But, I mean, look, obviously this is a team that we're hoping goes and tries to win Super Bowl in the playoffs, so they're not going to be picking up there, which is why I'm looking at maybe late first-round guys. They might fall down. I mean, Jordan Love fell. You know? I mean, he was down there. So that, it might happen with maybe it's Trey Lance or others that can do that. So that's why I was kind of looking at it. But you want to answer what he had to say, and I'll tell you a little interesting thing on Trey.
Well, my whole take is this with Donald. You know, when you're out there playing, these guys all want to play. First and foremost, when I was in there and I got a chance, you go out and play. You don't worry about this, that, and the other stuff. Your job as a professional football player is to do your job. You can't help the wins and losses because everybody else has to help you out. These players pretty much know this coaching staff will not be here next year. Me as a player, I'm playing for a new contract. I may be playing for another team, but I want to show that I can play. As far as Donald going out there and taking a pounding and getting beaten and everything, that's his job. If it happens, it happens. And I mean, you could be undefeated right now, throw a pass and break your hand. So you don't know what happens while you're playing. So go out and do your job. They all know that this guy's gone. All right. And basically, if you don't go out and do your job, that's you can tend to get hurt more.
You saw what happened to Dak Prescott a few weeks ago.
Correct. I mean, he's out there playing hard.
No one expected that to happen. So, I mean, just in this situation, it sucks that happened. But it's not like you're going to hold out your star player because you're afraid of getting him injured. He's your star player for a reason.
And you know what? If you hold out your star player, then somebody's going to sit there and say, wait a minute, you wanted a first-round pick on him, but you didn't play the guy. I'm going to give you a second or third round. He hasn't played much. So if he goes out and puts numbers up, then you got trade bait.
This is from earlier in the year, July. Daniel Jeremiah over on the NFL Network. And just kind of going over future prospects and stuff at the quarterback position. And he pulled up Trey Lance. And, John, I think the thing that is interesting on Trey that he brought up is, you know, just what he evaluates. So, again, I asked you, what are you looking for in a quarterback? If I'm, because, again, in today's college football, as you heard me talk about it with Coach Frizz, I mean, numbers are, I'm not going to say inflated, but, mm-hmm. I mean, they're high. I can fall in love with stats. I can fall in love with touchdown throws and stuff like looking at the offense. Competition is something that you look at or something of that nature as well. Because how do you feel about like a guy like Justin Fields? You know, things of that nature. He seems to, a lot of people feel finally going to get to watch him this weekend. They think he's the Heisman favorite and all this other stuff. So, so he is Trey Lance, 6'3", 224. And he's done really well over there in his 1 year he was, think? Right? 192 or 297 completion percentage, 2786 yards, 28 touchdowns, zero interceptions. Again, regardless of competition, a ball left early, misread, zero picks.
Well, that's a good sign there.
Zero picks. He also carried the ball 169 times for 1,100 yards. 6.5 average, 14 TDs. So he has that ability to extend the pocket, extend the play. Now, like, I look at Mahomes, don't run all the time, but you mentioned it when we were looking at the game last night. On some of his big pass plays, he immediately escapes the pocket, gets in open space, boom, there goes the
waits
cannon.
Waits for
the
his ball playmakers goes. To get open.
Exactly. So I don't need my next quarterback to run like Lamar Jackson. My fear there is one hit, man. Yep. And you don't even need to be the hit. You can just fall and hit your helmet on the turf and you're concussed. It's the playoff game. I don't have you. Mm-hmm. That's my only fear with Lamar. But a guy that can, Russell Wilson's a perfect example. Would you call Russell Wilson a running quarterback?
Not at all.
He's a mobile quarterback that extends the plays on third and five. Will go get you six.
Buys you time to and then, for other players.
And the
to
guy
get open.
Can air it out, man.
Yes.
I say that because I'm asking you what I want. I want a Russell Wilson sort of mobile, a guy that's a leader. He's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I think we fall in love with metrics. I need the right size.
See, that's what ticks me off. Yeah. Like people's size.
Right.
Who have your better quarterbacks in the NFL the last few years?
I've been the smaller ones.
Wilson.
Yeah.
Drew Brees. And there's a few other ones you go. I mean, look, Mayfield's played well at times, and he's 6 foot. You got a 5'9 guy in Arizona. Right.
Kyler Murray.
Doing it, Kyler Murray. So the guys, the analytic guys who come in and make, oh, you got to be. Remember the old days? I remember when I was playing. You got to be 6 foot four,
so,
6 foot five.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm getting. So, again, I really like this guy. I do.
I had a little bit of that saw him. I said, you know,
so
just nickel.
Here's what Daniel Jeremiah says. When he evaluates quarterbacks, quote, I tried to narrow my focus to these five key areas. Poise, accuracy, decision-making, playmaking ability. That's the first one, actually, that has to do with his arm talent and toughness. Right? So poise, accuracy, decision-making, playmaking ability, and toughness are the things that he looks for.
From what I hear, this kid has probably got all those.
Now,
the only thing that's going to...
Again, zero picks tells me my accuracy.
The only thing that will push him back a little bit is this. The Carson Wentz scenario is going against him a little bit, only because the FCS versus the FBS, that's the only thing going to hurt him a little bit in the of the competition. But because what Carson Wentz has done since he's been in the league, you know, he started out like a bat out of hell and he's kind of fizzled. Teams might want to shy away a little bit from that, but he has to show them in the combine.
So this is what he had to say. You have something to say real quick?
Yeah, I was just saying, give me a quarterback that could read the defense and change the play at the line over someone that could deliver the ball consistently, because if you can do that, then you can change up the play for the running back and he can make a big play for you on that team.
Daniel's number one thing is poise. Now, again, I know I'm picking a guy that's ridiculous, mm-hmm. but that's the thing that impresses me when I watch Joe Burrow. The first game of the year, second game, the guy just never gets rattled. He's just under calm and controlled from the first time I saw him at LSU to watching him with the Bengals. The guy just, he's just standing there like nothing. You know, nothing changes demeanor. He writes, poise. This is the most important trait for a quarterback, in my opinion. How do you perform when under pressure or in critical moments. When everything around you speeds up, do you have the ability to slow down and remain calm? Lance never looks rattled. He calmly and smoothly sidesteps pocket pressure while keeping his eyes downfield. He excels on third downs and in the red zone, always making the proper decision. Those are the most important aspects. That's fine. You can do it at the 35 and the 40-yard line. Can you do it on third? And can you do it in the red zone? That's important.
Here's my take, and I'm going to use this as an example. Nothing against Archer Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the kid's going to be, we know where his traits and 1A, 5A. That's the, you know, when you say poise, it's your competition level, too. I would like to look at a guy, Lance, why didn't he go into a, quote, bigger school? Now, look, the kid could be in the NFL for 10 years and light it up. I'm all for him and everything. But that's the only thing we got to base off of, a 1 year. How many quarterbacks that we all know, man, well, he looked great for that 1 year in college and he flopped in the NFL? I mean, there's a bunch of, and I never hope anything happens to anybody like this. You got to see a lot more. That's why I'm telling you right now, the pro days and the meetings and things, they'll know, you know, what the kid's going to play in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. You know, do you take him high?
Right.
I think it's going to be a later first round pick.
That's why I'm saying if he's down there and the Saints have a shot to move up a spot or two or something, somebody I think, you know, is looking at. Again, everyone wants Trevor Lawrence.
They have to move
up. I get it.
Up.
Everyone wants Trevor Lawrence. I get it.
And the other one would be Justin Fields. So you got, you know.
That's what I'm getting at. So, look, on accuracy, his ball placement is excellent, really trusts his eyes, throws with anticipation, allows his receivers better opportunities to run after the catch. Can layer the ball in the middle of the field over linebackers and under safeties, and he excels on bucket throws, deep balls over the top. What does he mean by that, to be able to throw in layers?
Corner squats up, safeties over the top, that cover two, there's a layer, there's that 14, 15. Can he get it in between the safety and the corner? Mm-hmm. Can you get it in there?
And a lot of that's anticipation,
can
like you
got two safeties down the middle of the field, tight ends running down the seam, that's a layer. Can you get it in there? Bucket is like, can he get it over the top, the go route? Like, you know, little mini me running down the field, getting covered by 6'3" DB, and then you ain't throwing no bucket.
Mm-hmm.
It's ones where you're running side by side with a DB. Can he get it over? You know, a lot of guys throw it line drives. If he could throw that bucket pass, if he could throw in the zone, in the layers, and you know, in the spot. From what I hear, he's got that ability.
I'm going to mention a few more things when we come back here. We're going to get to our break. But when he says on decision-making, he says, I've never evaluated a draft prospect like this. 28 TD, zero picks. You read that correctly, zero picks. When I saw the number, I expected to find him being overly cautious on tape. He says it's the direct opposite. He's selectively aggressive. When there are big play opportunities, he lets it rip. Fits the ball in tight quarters. However, he's very content to take the check down option as well. So, again, it just goes to understanding what he's capable of doing. Again, I'm not saying that this is the guy I would want, but might be the guy I want.
Yeah.
Tim Grubbs, he's up next. We'll preview World Series, Rays and Dodgers next on ESPN New Orleans. My sign is vital.
Teaming up to create a healthier community, Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center present Health Watch.
Just as you put fuel in your car to drive from point A to point B, you need to put fuel in the form of food in your body to achieve peak performance. Good nutrition leads to increased recovery, high concentration, high confidence, and ultimately high performance.
The first tip to good sports nutrition is increasing the number of times you eat per day. An example of a well-balanced day would include breakfast, a mid-morning snack, lunch, pre-practice snack, recovery snack, dinner, and an optional nighttime snack. This is helpful because the athlete may experience an increase in stabilized metabolism, maintain level blood sugars, receive constant energy and nutrients to muscles, prevent late night overeating, and ensure adequate calories throughout the day.
Breakfast is your kickstart for the day to maintain focus, return blood sugars to normal, and be your best as early as possible. Some good breakfast foods may be a smoothie, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, apple slices with peanut butter, waffle with fresh fruit, egg and turkey sausage, or yogurt. Lunch sustains metabolism, stabilizes blood sugar, and assists in meeting caloric goals. Some good lunch options may be peanut butter sandwich, turkey club sandwich, grilled chicken salad, ham and cheese wrap, or grilled tuna with vegetables. Snacks fuel your body, provide energy before workout, keeps you focused all day, maintains stable blood sugar, and keeps you from overeating at any given meal. Some good snacks may be roasted nuts, cracker and pretzel mix, bananas, peanut butter, or yogurt with fresh fruit.
Snacks play an important role in recovering nutrition, which means the body needs to refuel energy stores with carbohydrates, repair and rebuild muscle tissue with proteins, and rehydrate with water and electrolytes.
Timing is everything when it comes to your recovery snack, so be sure to refuel your body within 30 to 60 minutes post-workout, practice, or game.
If you have questions about nutrition before activity, snacks play an important role in recovering nutrition, which means the body needs to refuel energy stores with carbohydrates, repair and rebuild muscle tissue with proteins, and rehydrate with water and electrolytes. Please call the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional at 985-493-4502 or visit us at Thibodaux.com. 985-493-4502 or visit us at Thibodaux.com.
Health Watch is a presentation of Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. For more information on the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional, call 985-493-4502 or visit Thibodaux.com. Call 985-493-4502 or visit Thibodaux.com.
I rescued Toast from a shelter in 2011. I love Toast because she's a lazy diva. She's sleeping right now. She's so loving. She's so comforting. When I walked into the shelter, I knew right then that she was special.
Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Well, Jordan, looking forward to that World Series tonight or what, my friend?
Asterix.
Oh, wow. Going to Asterix. I'd have that, Mr. Tim Grubbs, the way to chat with a little baseball each and every Tuesday. Touch them all, Timmy Grubbs. Tim, how are you, sir? Good afternoon to you.
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing? I don't believe with Jordan right away. I'm not an asterisk guy for this. This was a pretty tough run.
All right.
I think if his Braves would have won the other day, he might be thinking something else.
Oh, it would have been a completely different story. The Braves had a depleted pitching.
Were they up 3-1?
You said it yourself, Tim, multiple times. You didn't know how they were going to get out of it. You didn't even know how they were going to get out of the first round.
We found out how they got out of it. BP. One pitch after another. Hit over the fence. That's what we saw.
So, yeah, I mean, it's an asterisk now that Dodgers. Everyone knew the Dodgers were going to get in.
Let's just talk about something else. Tim, here's our World Series preview. Anything short of a 12-0 win every game in a sweep, the Dodgers should be ashamed that I'm slapping an asterisk on it. This shouldn't be a World Series. It's not even close, is it? I mean, the payroll is incredible to me. Can you please give the people, the listeners, the difference in payroll? Please, do you mind?
I don't know if people have been seeing it. It's gone viral the last couple of days. Mookie Betts and Clayton Kershaw combined to make $27 million.
Two players.
Prorated this season. Yeah. Keep in mind, that's prorated. They would have made way more than that if they played 162. Tampa Bay as a team is $22 million.
Wow.
So if you want to know the big number, because, you know, you asked me earlier when you and I were texting.
Yeah.
I had to Google it. It's $77 million to $22. So it is a huge discrepancy. But even with that being said, the Dodgers' bullpen's not very good. Tampa's bullpen's good. So there is – now, the lineup from start to finish, the Dodgers' lineup is substantially better. But I think pitching-wise, I mean, Tampa Bay – there are three starters, you know, Snell and Glasnow and Morton probably stack up better than L.A. does. You know what I mean? It's funny when you look at pitching. This is really – I know we talk about it a lot when we talk football. You know, offense is great, but defenses win championships. Let's see here, because Tampa Bay really does have the better pitching from start to bottom. Now, there are some areas where L.A. is pretty good, but and there are days off in this. Keep in mind, it isn't seven straight days like we saw in the earlier rounds, which I do think impacted. I do think it kind of had an impact on how we saw all this happen. But teams don't come back from 3-1 very often. But we do have the normal days off, and there's no travel. So this could be interesting how it all goes.
That's right. It's always going to be at Global Life Field, the new stadium where the Rangers never got to play this season, even though it's a brand new stadium for them. For guys like, say, our buddy John over here that likes to go stay over and hang out certain places and, you know, make some friendly wagers, what are the chances here, or I guess what are the reasons I should look at the Rays as maybe placing something? I because look, let's be honest, other than Dick Vitale, who watches the Rays, right? I mean, he talks about it like you do. We come on and talk every Tuesday about it, but what's their starting pitching like? Who's their top hitter? Who are their names? Who are they?
Well, that's what's funny about it. I mean, their pitching-wise, I just said, you know, Blake Snell is tremendous, former Cy Young Award winner. Charlie Morton, who we saw 2 years ago with the Astros, we've seen him before with the Pirates, and Tyler Glasnow is a young kid. You know, I think he's in his second season, a guy that the Rays pilfered from the Pirates a few years ago. But, you know, pitching-wise, Tampa Bay's better. I really think Tampa Bay's got the better pitching staff. I think they got the three better star. I mean, plus you factor in, I mean, does Kershaw have – I think Kershaw going tonight is better. You know, there's not as much pressure in game one, but – There's his legacy here, and I, you know, people will rip him for not winning a World Series or not pitching that well. He pitches pretty decent in the postseason. Mm-hmm. He had a pretty good game the other day, gave up some runs late, but he's not that bad. But there is going to be some extra pressure on Kershaw. But lineup-wise, I mean, you got to keep in mind, I mean, Tampa Bay does play in the American League East, and I know the AL East this year was watered down since Boston wasn't very good. The Yankees are, you know, normally good, and sure enough, Tampa Bay and New York went five games, and it was close. But I would not be shocked. I do think the Dodgers will win it. I'm not going to sit here and go against the grain. And when you look at the experts from across the country, most people are picking L.A. But you know what? I mean, it wouldn't shock me to see Tampa Bay pull it off. I mean, there's a reason why they're a small market team. And they can continue to be able to pull this off. Their farm system is just tremendous. This Randy Arozarena is a guy that I saw play, you know, in AAA last year with Memphis. He was a Cardinals prospect. I wouldn't even call him a prospect. He was a Cardinals player that played at AAA Memphis. Really just a guy that, you know, they had signed out of Cuba, and he came up through their system. And he was a throw-in in a trade between the Cardinals and the Rays. And I tell you, don't ever trade with Tampa. If you take a look at some of their trades, Arozarena was a throw-in on that trade. And look at what that guy just did in the ALCS. I mean, that's incredible. And I know he's hot, and you don't know if he'll continue it and if the Dodgers will have seen something on tape or, you know what I mean, attack him a little different. But that guy's been impressive, and I just told you, the guy that's pitching tonight for Tampa, Tyler Glasnow, was a guy that was in the Pirates system. And Pittsburgh made a big trade a couple years ago for Chris Archer, who was one of the best pitchers in the American League at the time. And I was excited because I was like, hey, the Pirates just got, during the trade deadline, they just got a big-time pitcher from the Rays. And the guys we gave up were Tampa Bay right now are leading them to the World Series. So it is kind of one of those teams. Their scouting department is tremendous.
Speaking with Tim Grubbs as we kind of take a look at the World Series here, the path for those teams to get here tonight, let's go back to the Dodgers. I mean, why such the up and down? I mean, that offense is what we saw, right, as to why they wound up winning the NLCS. Why were they so sluggish sometimes on certain nights on the offensive end? And the others, literally, it was batting practice.
Yeah, you and I talked about it a lot. I mean, there was a lot. I mean, you being a Cubs fan, this season, and I don't really understand, like, why so many big-name players struggled through the season. And I don't know if it's because it was, you know, normally it would just say over 60 games is a small sample size, you know, and that's all we got. That was the whole year. But, like, a Cody Bellinger really just, it took him forever to get going. And I don't know exactly, I don't know if I can really pinpoint it on why that lineup has been so sluggish. I mean, it is, the one thing, as much as we talk about the Dodgers' payroll and how much they pay, they do got a lot of guys that were released, not free agents, a lot of guys that were just flat-out released from other teams. Chris Taylor is somebody that Seattle just gave up on. Max Muncy was given up on by several teams. Mm-hmm. They do have Mookie Betts. And I think the difference between this Dodgers team and the team that we've seen, you know, they've been to the World Series now 3 out of the last 4 years. The difference is, you know, this past year, their GM, who's the former Tampa Bay GM, Andrew Friedman, Tulane guy, he went out and got Mookie Betts. He probably realized, I need to get a Hall of Fame guy, a sure thing in that lineup, and I think it's going to pay off. I think Mookie's going to probably be able to be the difference and the reason why they win.
All right, so how many games? How many games do you see this in? You went Dodgers. How many games?
Yeah, I went Dodgers. I'm going 6. I'm not one of those people that think. I think, but you know what? It really wouldn't surprise me. Remember when the Red Sox came back from three games to none,
right,
to beat the Yankees?
Mm-hmm.
And then they went into the World Series and played a very good Cardinals team that nobody even thinks of now because they smoked them. You know, they swept them in 4 games because momentum had them going their way. It really wouldn't surprise me. But then again, it wouldn't surprise me if Tampa Bay wins tonight. That's why I think I'm going 6, because I do think Graf's going to have some tough nights, because I do think that Dodgers bullpen's going to blow a lead. And, I'm not trying to be difficult towards Graf. He's a good friend. But I do think Kenley Jansen and that Dodger bullpen could cause some heartache. And it will cost them a game or possibly. And in the end, I think it's going to take around 5 or 6 games to get it done.
What happens if the Dodgers lose? What does Todd Graffanini have to do if the Dodgers blow this one?
Wow. I mean, it's...
Yeah. You know, I mean, punishment needs to be made, right?
They could be... Well, Dave Roberts' job's probably gone. and it's just going to be... They're going to overreact.
Who's left to go gobble up? I mean, because that's what they've done. After every year they lose, they go get another best player from another team. So who's left?
Right, and I don't
Chris Bryant? Do they want Chris Bryant?
And I don't know financially. This isn't a year the teams are going to spend.
Right.
You know, I mean, wait till this free agent market comes out. You know what I mean? You're really going to see teams, you know, nickel and dime and be threat. Even though a team like that who could win a World Series or finish National League champ, I don't think they're going to go out and spend a ton of money elsewhere. So I don't know really what's next. Obviously, they could go get, you know, a big name pitcher. They tried to go get Garrett Cole last year and just, you know, got even though the Dodgers could afford whatever, they got priced out. You know, Yankees gave them, 9 years or something ridiculous like that.
At Mr. Tim Grubbs, way to follow you over on Twitter, sir. As always, I appreciate it. We'll be talking to you throughout the Fall Classic here, and I'll be texting you tonight. I'll watch.
Yeah, I'll watch. I mean, I'm glad.
You hear the excitement.
Atlanta versus Tampa, I don't know how much, I mean, I would have watched it because I'm a baseball guy, but I don't know how much other people would have watched it, how much interest there is.
I hear you, man. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate the time.
All right, thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
Yep. We'll be back. It's the Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Game Changers is brought to you by KPMG.
Happy to have joining us now on Spain and Fitz, LPGA golfer Mariah Stackhouse.
I was lucky in growing up with that, in that era where Tiger was beginning his dominance, and for seeing the best player in the game be a black athlete, I think that that was an automatic representation of myself on the golf course, and beginning to take competitive golf seriously aligned with Tiger's presence in the game.
For the rest of the interview, be sure to download the Spain and Fitz podcast.
Redbox has something for everyone, along with a new comedy that can't be missed. The King of Staten Island, starring Pete Davidson, is now available at the box and streaming on demand. Directed by Judd Apatow, The King of Staten Island is laugh-out-loud funny, but will surprise you with a truly heartfelt story. It also features an all-star cast starring Marissa Tomei, Bill Burr, Steve Buscemi, and more. Rent The King of Staten Island tonight, along with other new movies at Redbox. Make it a movie night and visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
College football, it's the game you wake up early on Saturdays for, even though kickoff isn't until 7. The game where the Goodyear blimp becomes a Hall of Famer. The game that goes just beyond school, spirit, fandom, or love of the sport. It's the game where the comebacks happen. It's the game where anything can and will happen, as long as you have the drive. Because college football is the game that moves you. We get it because it moves us too. Goodyear, more driven.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Gus Kattengill back in studio, along with John 4K, Jordan Kleber as well. 800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime into the conversation of the day, Jordan, go ahead and update us in a little bit. To some of our questions of the day that we've thrown out there as part of the conversation, we've talked about quarterbacks. We've talked about, obviously the World Series, a little college football as well. Jordan, our question of the day though overall is?
Yes. So give us your top five teams as of now in the NFL. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you can do that by commenting at ESPN Radio New Orleans over on Twitter or calling in 800-998-1003. Or you could just tweet at us if you wanted to talk about who you want to see Drew Brees' successor be.
Dan Graziano, ESPN, John, before you give me your top five teams in the NFL, latest on the hot seat coaches in the NFL.
There's three situations we're watching potential openings during the year, and not any surprise. Adam Gase with the Jets. I mean, it's the only winless team left, and obviously, you know, that hasn't worked out. Detroit, obviously, you know, they won the game Sunday. Matt Patricia buying himself certainly some time, but I think a lot of people around the league are watching that situation. If it continues to go badly, they could make a change there. They said that at the end of last year, that Patricia and Quinn had to show some this year in order to get another one. And then Jacksonville, you know, Doug Marrone is obviously a guy people are looking out for. So those are the three big ones we're kind of watching in terms of the most likely to happen sooner rather than later. And obviously by the end, you know, check back a month, month and a half from now, some situations could look worse than they already do.
Now, John, one of the things that stood out to me today, and the reason why I brought up that question of the day was because Screamin' A earlier this morning on First Take provided his top five teams currently in the NFL. Steelers 5, Ravens 4, Chiefs 3, Seahawks 2, Titans 1. We discussed in our one at opening segment about the Titans, and we talked about Vrabel, and you got, you know, Derrick Henry now playing well. Mm. Tannehill had 4 TD passes. So I can hear the argument. I don't know if I agree, but I can hear the argument for somebody telling me they're a top five team. What I found interesting was this. You and I both talked about this and several other media members that cover the Saints. We thought the Saints would be one of the most talented teams Sean Payton had on paper. But the problem would be, man, the NFC looks tough. The NFC is going to be a tough conference to get out of. In his top five currently, the Seahawks are the only team that he has in the top five. Do you think out of the top five teams that you have, John, you only have one NFC team?
I could see why, because of the way they played this season. But, you know, if you're going to have just the Seahawks in there, the 5-0, you know, granted, the Packers lost this past weekend. If they had won, would they have been in the top five?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so right now in the NFC, that's the only ones you can. You can't put the Bears. You know, the Bears.
Oh, Jordan, you're bad.
You can't put the Bears.
Only lost one
By
game.
The way, 5-1, and they're 6.5-point dogs
and
to
the top
Rams.
Of their division.
Yeah. To the Rams.
It's a bad division.
Yeah.
There's okay. only two
Just letting
teams
you know.
In that.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But overall, you know, you talk about the top five.
Yeah, who you got?
You know, if you're going to go from bottom up,
yep.
You know, I would say you could say that the bottom would, you know, I'm going to go Baltimore, KC. I'm going to go Baltimore, KC. I'll do Tennessee. I'll do Seattle. And I'll do Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's your number one team.
Pittsburgh's
got a pretty good defense right now.
And they don't, and that kid Claypool
yeah.
is a player.
Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger looks like he's got a team around him. Yes, yes. I like Mike Tomlin. I've always liked Mike Tomlin. Yep. Jordan?
Yeah, Saints fans, some breaking news. Tom Pelissero, Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey, isn't expected to play Sunday against the Saints, the fifth game he's missed since his high ankle sprain in week two. Sources tell him he's close, but they're staying cautious with a Thursday night game versus Atlanta up next.
Yeah, he's your franchise.
Yes.
Anything you do this season, I think, is gravy. And when he's the guy that makes that kind of money, you make sure that he's 100% healthy, especially when it comes to a knee injury for running back.
And let's see, would they rather play against the Saints here in the Dome or play against the Atlanta Falcons? Let me weigh that one out right there.
So let me ask you then, when you look at it, in your top five there, again, you have more AFC teams than NFC.
I would have put the Packers if they would have beaten this weekend.
You think one loss really changed? Because I think Green Bay is still good.
You said top five. I know. Could I put two at five? I'm not really sold on Baltimore yet.
Well, let's look at the division leaders in the NFC.
All right.
Because, again, I my initial reaction is, wait. There's got to be some better NFC teams. Well, let's look.
They're not.
There is no one in the NFC East I'd put in top five.
Nobody in the NFC?
East.
Oh, the East. Are they even in the
conference? Dallas is in first place at 2-4. That's four teams gone right there.
Right.
In the NFC North, Bears are 5-1, Packers are 4-1. I think the Bears and the Packers are two completely different football teams.
Yeah.
Now I say that, but John, at the end of the day, you are what your record says you are.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But I'm not putting them in the top five.
Right.
When you win your fifth game and Vegas makes you a 6.5-point underdog to the Rams who just lost on Sunday Night Football, that's all I need to know.
Correct.
Now, then you go to the South. Bucks 4-2, Saints 3-2. Now, I know records are telling me that those are average football teams. I think Tampa looks like they're improving. I said after week one, I thought that's a nice win by the Saints. That's a good team, found a way to win, get that win, get on out, see them later down the road in Tampa.
You know,
the Saints are a better team than what they are showing
right
now. I get
what I said, but you know they're 3-2 right now, and the Saints could easily be 1-4.
Yeah, I hear you. Panthers and Falcons. So again, I'm not putting Tampa in the top five.
No,
right now,
not now.
While they had a nice win against the Packers, and all that, Brady only threw for 166. NFC West, Seattle is 5-0.
And that's it.
Arizona's 4-2, Rams are 4-2, and the Niners are 3-3. Of those teams, is there anybody to put in the top five? Seattle. So while I at first went, there's no way. When you sit there and go through it,
well, when you see it in front of you,
I think Screamin' A is right.
Yeah.
I think there's only one NFC team. Maybe the Packers, you can make a case and argument, but who are you taking out?
You're putting the Steelers in there before another NFC team.
I'm going to sit back and watch this. Week one.
New York Giants.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
26-16.
Hey, what's their record?
They're 5-0.
Okay.
They're 5-0, but hey, when we look at college
football, and a team
goes undefeated and they still don't make it into the playoffs, what does that undefeated record mean then?
Let me ask you this. You said, they beat the Giants. You know, what happened if you would have said that they started the season and they played Cleveland first and they spanked Cleveland and they played the Giants like
that was the only decent play team that they played. The Broncos suck, the Texans suck, and the Eagles suck.
You have to understand, John, that...
Well, you want to go look at who the Packers played that probably sucked too?
No, they do suck. I have a soundbite that whoever the Packers played also.
Right. Well,
they played the Saints in Tampa.
You got to play somebody. You got to put your in your dime. You win the football game.
Don't let it happen.
You win by one point.
See, you let it happen. You're letting your blood pressure boil. Yeah,
you know,
I learned.
That's why they got those half a points in betting.
I have learned when he makes a point, a lot of times I just go, okay.
Well, he makes a point or he makes true. A no, comment. Right.
Well, that's right. I just okay. It goes in one ear and out the other.
We'll see. We'll see how these next three games go.
You literally think the Steelers aren't a good football team?
Let's see how these next three games go. They play the Titans. They play Baltimore, and they play the Cowboys.
Why don't you just say, let's see at the end of the season where they are?
Yeah, let's see. One team from the AFC is going to play one team from the NFC.
Yeah, exactly.
So we will see.
Let's see after 10 games how good they are. Thank you, Jordan. They're 16. I'm saying right now, October 20th, give me your top five teams in the NFL. The Steelers are one of them.
All right, Jordan, he's asked me, and he's
one of them by virtue to have five wins.
What are you okay, five? Well, how can y'all not put the Bears in there? How do y'all not put the Bears in at least the top five?
They're six and a half point underdogs.
Okay, they're an underdog, but they're 5-1.
They had to come back a couple
weeks
ago to change quarterbacks to play to win the game.
Dude.
Come on, dude.
The Bears should be 3-3 right now.
But they're not. All right. Well, okay.
They beat the Bucks.
But they're not. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are undefeated. Your Bears aren't.
But the Bears also had a tougher schedule so far.
In your eyes. The same Giants.
The Lions?
Hold up.
Yeah.
You said Pittsburgh played the Giants. I'm looking at that. They played the Giants.
Yeah, but they also didn't play the Broncos. Throw that one out. All right, fine. You can throw that one out. They also didn't play the
Atlanta
Broncos.
Throw that one out, too.
They fired
Detroit.
But wait a second.
Detroit.
Throw that one out.
Detroit is a good football team.
That's why they talk about firing the head coach anytime soon.
They blew a lead to the Saints.
Oh, my God.
They were spotted 14 points with one offensive play.
They're a decent team. Yeah. They're not like a horrible team.
No.
Detroit?
Yeah, Detroit's a decent
team. Well, the Giants are a decent team.
No, they're not.
They got a brand new head coach.
Since they lost Saquon, they don't have anything else.
Oh, my God. Look, they should have beat the Cowboys the other night.
But they didn't.
Okay.
Okay, who's the number one team? Is it the Titans?
I mean,
here's Keyshawn Johnson on Derrick Henry.
His team has got to win, right? And that, which they're doing.
So far, so good.
And his numbers have got to be astronomical, meaning like he's got to get over the quarterback. You've got to be a 2,000-yard runner, or you've got to be LaDainian Thomason, 1,800 yards, 28 touchdowns on the ground, another couple throwing, a couple receiving. You know, 1,500 yards isn't going to get it done for Derrick Henry. He's got to have big numbers. You know, when you think about, like, Sean Alexander, for instance, 1,800 yards, 27 touchdowns. Even Marshall Faulk, Hall of Famer, 1,300 yards, 18 rushing touchdowns. But I think he might have had 1,000 yards receiving or something crazy like that. So all-purpose makes a difference when you come to running backs, unless you are a 2,000-yard back.
Keyshawn's talking about MVP. Could Derrick Henry get an MVP?
Right. I thought he was saying he had, like, whoa, you know.
MVP.
Derrick Henry absolutely runs all over the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend. I want both of you in this room kissing my feet. Apologize.
For what?
Apologize.
They lost the game.
Wait a minute. They're talking about him being an MVP candidate.
I don't care. Y'all said, oh, the Pittsburgh Steelers, man, they're top five team. If they get spanked this weekend,
do you speak or just listen?
No, I'm speaking.
No, you don't listen.
I'm spitting the truth.
No, your lips are Stephen moving, A. has the Titans at 1.
Okay.
The Steelers at 5.
Okay.
So if the Titans beat the Steelers, what is your wow moment? Where is it coming from?
But from my angle.
What angle?
From my angle.
You got no angle.
My angle is that the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't that good.
He's doing it to me now. He's raising my blood pressure.
Chicago Bears are good.
Oh, my gosh.
Played tougher opponents.
What does that got to do with anything, tougher opponents? They won the team that they played that day.
There's a thing called strength of schedule.
That doesn't work in the NFL.
Just how it's, yes, it does. That's why there's not a lot of back-to-back playoffs.
You play and you win and you go play the champ. Oh, my God.
Yep.
I like you better when you were locked up in your house with no food.
You saw the Browns going into that game against the Steelers, right?
The Browns were a decent team.
Same record as the Steelers going into that game, right? What was the final of that one?
38-7.
So who was the better team?
Pittsburgh, that day.
Exactly.
That day.
Sometimes the record, you know, is what you say you are.
When we come back, people know who's good. And the Bears, like, lose the next two or three games, or you go
They're
to...
They're not. Oh, what happens when the Bears beat the Saints?
Wow. Wow. Guess we know where you're going in that game, huh?
Yeah. You already didn't...
I might have already went over to Mississippi.
Oh, you did, huh? Got a little buddy over there?
Might have.
Sports Hangover final segment coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
you.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengill with the Sports Hangover. If you're suffering from low T, you don't have to accept it. Get back to feeling your best with Men's Total Health. Did you know the effects of low testosterone are not only physical? You would be surprised at how hormone imbalance can affect your daily life, emotionally, sexually, and even sleep patterns. Irritable, bad mood, can't concentrate, can't remember things. Hormone balance can help you be your best self, improve quality of life and relationships. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590 to schedule an appointment today.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
I left the military with a traumatic brain injury. I came home to fight depression, anxiety, and alcohol.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Adam Greathouse, Army veteran.
DAV helps veterans get the benefits they've earned.
With DAV's help, I've built a new life for myself.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
My victory is just experiencing life.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. John 4K, Gus Kattengill, and some intern we got in the studio here.
You better hope the Steelers win this week.
You know, you can't even... No, what... I don't even know what to say. You got anything? Got anything?
I'm glad it's just you and me in this room right now.
Oh, my goodness. Let me ask you this. Ezekiel Elliott on the fumbles yesterday. Eesh, huh?
Yeah, it was rough. I mean,
two fumbles early like that, man, lead to 14 straight points.
And he's actually not a big fumbler. He's run the ball well over the years he's been there and hasn't really fumbled as much. But when it does happen, and like I made a comment to you earlier, I said, 14 points, okay, so you're down, that's early in the game, 14 points. You could come back from that. Where was the offense, even without him fumbling?